Hey, listen, nerds. You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
That nice lady ain't lying. We are back with another Answer of the Week. Answer of the Week is real simple. It works like this. We ask you a question every Friday. We post it on the THN forums. We mentioned to go check it out on our Facebook, on our Twitter, so it's good to follow us and like us
there.
Are
you sure? Have you done this before?
I've done this before.
You sound unsure.
And then you call us at 402-819-4894, and you answer the question of the week. Then we do this damn show, but Joe Patrick, we can't do squat until you tell me what we ask these kids.
This week's question was, what fictional character death affected you the most as a fan?
It's going to be a sad one. It's going to be a lot of tears. We're going to start in Chicago, Chickie G, one of my favorite towns in the United States. I think it's Dwight from Chicago. I think he's our only Chickie G listener. We have one in Chicago. If not, if we have more, call us. Tell us about it.
Hey, guys. Dwight from Chicago with the answer to this week's question of the week. Well, I've been reading these funny books long enough to know that when the heroes die, they don't stay dead. So I had to think as far as supporting characters, and I went to Identity Crisis. The death of Sue Digby and Tim Drake's dad, both of those were just gut punches. The writing and the story were just so excellent. The way they played the helplessness that Batman felt trying to comfort Tim Drake when he found his father murdered. The pain that Ralph Digby, the elongated man, had to go through at the death of his wife. The story, even now, makes me want to go back and reread that whole storyline. Yeah, that's it. I've got to say, if you haven't read Identity Crisis, go back and dig that out. That's well worth a read. That's it. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
That's a real solid answer. And Identity Crisis was one of those stories that got kicked around a lot since it's been out. Some people say it was fantastic. Other people say it was gratuitous and disgusting. I'm in the first camp. I really enjoyed it. And I totally agree. I'd never read a DC comic outside of something that, like, maybe Alan Moore did, where we saw characters raped and murdered. And I mean, like, in really brutal ways. And yeah, I agree. Tim Drake's dad, that one was rough. That one was really rough.
I mean, I agree. I understand why people take issue with it.
I get it too. I understand their point.
But personally, I really enjoyed Identity Crisis. I think those deaths are very affecting. It wasn't because of how they did it. It was the fact that it was Sue Digby.
Yeah.
You know, because she was a character that meant something.
An innocent character. Know. Very innocent.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good answer.
Dwight, always good to hear from you. Although I would love to hear from somebody else from Chicago too. I know there's got to be at least two listeners from Chicago. Has to be.
Dwight, you're good enough for me, buddy.
Oh, nothing's good enough for me. Next caller.
Hey, Joe and Matt, it's the TD Dubs calling in with the question of the week. This week's question is, which fictional character's death affected you most as a fan? Let's start with a few selections from some of my favorite books. The first one's The Road by Cormac McCarthy.
One answer, Tony!
Spoiler alert with all this, so be warned. The Death of the Dad, really good book. Just, you kind of felt something was coming with the father, son, and reading that book, at the time when I had just become a dad, kind of really shook me up a little bit. Two more from John Steinbeck.
Nope. Sorry. Your answer is the one from Cormac McCarthy.
It's the dad and from The Road.
And it's a good answer. It's a very good answer. That book was brutal, man. Absolutely brutal. The movie, also brutal. If you don't have time to read the book, Viggo Mortensen.
I often confuse The Road with The Mist, and I know that they're two wholly different things.
Completely different things, yes. Completely different things. But we got to stick with the one answer rule. Come on.
Tony, it's not my choice.
Tony,
he's in control. I can't control him.
You work in the office right across the hall. Come on, man. I know you got the memo.
You know that, like, he started writing a new Tales of the TD Dubs article like 3 months ago and never told me it was done.
I never knew that that was the same TD Dubs. I thought we knew two. I thought one worked for us and one just called every once in a while.
You think that you know two guys named TD Dubs?
Yeah. I just, you know, thought there was two of them.
That's weird.
A couple of Tony Doug writes.
That's weird, Matt.
Next caller, let's see if they only had one.
Two-headed nerd, Amazing Spider Brad, calling in this week with my most influential death. I gotta say, this is an easy one, and it's one that you're probably gonna hear a lot of, but, you know, keep things short, keep things simple. it's going to be Uncle Ben. Why Uncle Ben? Well, if it wasn't for Uncle Ben, we probably would not have Spider-Man. And if we did have Spider-Man, he would be, a showy show tunes and stage act that doesn't do freaking anything. Every freaking event that happens to Spider-Man, he looks back at Uncle Ben, thinks about the way he was raised by his uncle, and he does the right thing. That right there is the reason why he is the superior Spider-Man. But yeah, obvious answer, guys. I know. But he's the only freaking person that stays dead. I don't know. I guess second was Nightcrawler, but the way he came back was stupid, so screw that. All right, guys. Have a good one. I'll make you some MP3 treats next week. Have a good one, guys.
Right on, Brad. We appreciate your call, and we appreciate your MP3s. And I just wrote a little something-something about how stupid the return of Nightcrawler was. So if you get a chance, jump on over to twoheadednerd.com.
It's not up yet.
It's not up yet.
It'll be up, though.
Good answer, though.
Listen, I can't trust anything this guy writes. I have to run it through our editor, Shasta, first.
Oh, please. But he's right. We'd be lost without her. Shasta, you're the best. That's why we love you. Let's move on to the MP3 crew. Brian Domingos was the first one to hit us.
Hey, guys. This is Brian Domingos. This is the answer of the week for which death affected me the most. And this is an easy one. It was when Ted Knight sacrificed himself to save Opal City. And he went out in a nuclear blaze. And he looked old but brave. And he was there with his oldest enemy slash sort of friend. They get taken out mid-sentence, and it's sweet and heartbreaking, and you really feel for Jack. And I have some other answers, but you'll have to find them on the forum. Thanks.
Booyah!
Look at that guy. Knows how to follow instructions.
He knows what's up.
That's why we love him.
Brian, that's a good answer, man.
You may have just stolen Joe Patrick's
answer. No, I've got it. I've got my own answer, but...
He's got his own answer.
That's... Man, that didn't even occur to me, to be honest with you.
That's a really good one. Yeah, I'm surprised that didn't. That's a solid one. Randy Andrews, I know he's had some people die in his comic book collecting, so he should be able to answer this one this week. Let's see what you got, Randy.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews calling in for the question of the week. With so many deaths in comics recently, the one death that affected me most was the death of Charles Xavier in the epic story of Avengers vs. X-Men. It was truly heart-wrenching when Cyclops, as the Phoenix, is confronted by Xavier, trying to get him to stop. And Xavier says, "Scott, look around you. I'm begging you, son. Stop this now." Scott replies, "You are not my father," and then kills him with the Phoenix Force.
You're not my real dad!
Everyone couldn't stop it. Xavier was part of X-Men so long that it's a truly sad moment in comic history. Well, that's my answer this week, guys. Hope you like it. Follow me on my soundtrack blog, soundtrackalley.blogspot.com, and we'll see you next time, guys. Bye for now.
Thank you for your answer, Randy, and that's a good one. Professor X, that's a big one.
That is a good one. Randy, sounding very somber.
And, you know... I was going to say I didn't like appropriately somber.
Yeah.
I was going to say that I didn't like the way that Professor X died, but I disagree. I did like it. I thought it was pretty effective. Now, I do think we saw it coming. I mean, I don't remember if we saw it coming because it was rumored and we were like, it's going to be Professor X or whatever. But I remember when it happened going, okay, there it is. Saw that coming.
Like the marketing machine always does. They were teasing somebody's death,
right?
And they, because God forbid they leave anything a surprise.
Not anymore. Not these days.
Randy, I like that answer.
Good answer, Andy. Andrea Shock hit us one that she said might be a little too real. So let's get ready for a tearjerker just in case, guys. Let's see what she's got.
Hi guys, it's Andrea. A couple of months ago, I found out that my mom is very sick. I live about 2,500 miles away, and I'm actually really bad about dealing with my feelings or asking for help. So a much smarter man than I sent me a copy of I Kill Giants by Joe Kelly, and it wrecked me in the worst and best possible way. I cried for the entire second half of the book for probably an hour afterwards, and once I calmed down, I called my mom, which was sort of the point. I love comics. I love books. I love movies. Stories are appealing to me because they're not real. So it's a very powerful experience when the death of a fictional character forces you to acknowledge the mortality of a loved one in a new way. Barbara's mother's death in I Kill Giants was inevitable. There was nothing about it that wasn't destined to happen from page one. It's the process of dealing with that death that makes it such an effective story. Barbara's stronger than she thinks she is. It's kind of comforting to think the rest of us are too. Thanks, guys.
Right on. I guess everybody can stop answering because Andrea had to give us an answer, you know, that has real meaning as opposed to like, oh man, I didn't know he was going to die.
Look, hey,
that's a, thank you for sharing though. Definitely. Not a,
you know what? Raise your charo negro to Andrea and her mom.
Thank you for sharing, Shock. We can take a lot of these fictional stories for granted, especially when there's characters that we like that are dying and stuff like that. And we all go, they're going to be back whenever. I read I Kill Giants as well, and it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. I have a feeling Joe Kelly went through something very similar, and that's where the story came from. That's how he chose to deal with it. And it really was a wonderful story. Really was. And seriously, thank you for sharing with everybody. That was great.
We love you.
Matt McNabb, let's see what you got, buddy.
Hey, Twitter nerd, it's Matt McNabb here. Before I answer the question of the week, I just want to settle the quick debate from 2 weeks ago about how you say my last name. It's pronounced McNabb, but it's spelt M-A-C. So if you're trying to find me on Twitter or something, don't search M-C-N-A-B. It's M-A-C-N-A-B.
McNabb.
Or Matt underscore McNabb.
Yeah, see?
So anyway, on to the question.
Pronounced
now, this
McNabb.
Might be cheating, but the fictional characters whose death affected me the most actually isn't a comic book character. And even though I probably could find a comic book character from like Why the Last Man or The Walking Dead, they've had some crazy deaths that have affected me in some pretty harsh ways. I'm picking from one from a TV show, the show Dexter. It was on Showtime, I think it was. Dexter's girlfriend, Rita. By the way, this is a spoiler. It's probably too late for that, but whatever.
Haven't gotten to this
Dexter's
season
girlfriend,
yet.
Dexter's girlfriend, Rita, gets killed by one of the serial killers that Dexter is trying to stop, but like also trying to learn from. And I don't know why, but it just crushed me. It's like in the fourth season, and I just like I had to call my girlfriend and tell her how upset I was over this fictional character's death, who at oftentimes I complained about, like, you know, her kind of being a bitch. I even ended up writing a paper for my English class about why it affected me and why this was different from other deaths of TV shows and why I was so upset. But that's, you know, too much to get into right now. So anyway, see you guys next time.
Solid answer. I did not know that Rita dies. So apparently we should have a big spoiler alert before the show. Like, if there's anything out there that you haven't finished yet, it could be spoiled in this show.
Prepare yourself.
All right. This is what happens when we ask questions like these, and Joe Patrick doesn't limit it to just comic books. So
hey, look, even, I mean, he could have easily spoiled a comic book for somebody. I've never seen Dexter, so whatever.
It's a great show. Dexter's a lot of fun. Shonix, he's going to be upset about the death of an X-Man.
We'll see.
I'm just trying to guess who it is. It's not Colossus, because that was dumb.
Magic.
He might be pissed about
Ilyana.
I don't think that's it.
Let's find out.
I don't think that's it. Let's see what he's got.
Hello, Twitter nerd. Shonix emailing in with my sad, sad answer to the question of the week. Depressing question this week. Just sad, because I do get emotional when it comes to certain comic book characters. They, you know, I get involved in the books. And when I first read this question, my gut reaction was Colossus. Then my brain chimed in and was like, hey, what about all those Walking Dead guys that we've seen go, and ladies, through the years? Lori, Judy, Dale, Glenn, Tyrese. But then my heart smacked my brain,
didn't know,
punched me in the gut, and reminded me of a character by the name of Ampersand. To this day, when talking about the book that he appeared in, I'm not going to name the name of the book because I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't read it. But once you read that character's name in that book, now it's spoiled. But Ampersand, I miss him. Whenever I talk about that book with other people that have read it, we all kind of have this moment of silence, and our heads kind of go down, or we're like, oh, Ampersand. I mean, that was a character that was fantastic in the book. And when he passed, it was so just, it did to this day. I mean, I get a reaction to it. It's just how the writer wrote that character, but just what he brought to the book was fantastic. And you hated to see him go. And when he did, it was sad. And I mean, a little verklempt. You know, throat's getting a little dry here. I might get a little goosebumps on the arms once in a while, but that one is emotionally, physical. All those responses happen whenever I think Ampersand, and it's just depressing. Depressing question. Hopefully next week we'll have a little bit more of an uplifting one. Maybe I'll submit one. Doubt it. I like to keep those to myself. But thanks again for letting us chime in. Talk at you next week. Peace out.
Ampersand was a tough one. Oh.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
It was gut-wrenching, man. That one was sad.
I mean, with Ampersand,
it was his best friend.
I know, but like, it happened at the very end of the series.
Still.
Years in the future, like after Yorick was an old man. Like, how old was that? That monkey?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't terribly sad, but that monkey lived a good life.
You're a monster. I picked Beeps up and carried him around for like a half an hour after I read it. Like, oh, buddy.
No, that's a great answer, Sean.
Oh,
great
man. Answer.
And hey, submit your questions, man. You know how hard it is to come up with a question every week?
Especially when it doesn't make everybody cry. Jesus
Look,
Christ.
Look, life is messy.
And gross. Don't forget gross. Harvey Locust, he's upset. He can tell. But he said, dot, 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 but I MP3'd this bitch, was an exclamation point.
Well, he said, sorry, I rambled on this one, okay. Dot, dot, dot.
Oh, I see.
But I MP3'd.
Continued from the subject line.
MP3'd
this Very bitch. Clever, Mr. Locust.
Hey, nerds. Harvey Locust here, MP3ing in for the first time.
Love that sound quality, Harvey.
My answer to the question of the week. And this one, I'm going to have to go out on a technicality here because Joe did specify just fictional character. He didn't say comic book character.
That's right.
So right now I'm drinking a little bit of Steel Reserve. Ooh. So I'm going to pour a little bit out for my homie. And that homie is Aeris from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, man.
If you played this game like I did back in 1997 when it first came out on the original PlayStation, it was a great game, right? And you had these four or five main characters that you were investing in, you were putting your money in, you're investing in leveling these characters up, and Aeris was one of these characters. And at the end of disc one of three, I'm pretty sure this is when this happened. I'm pretty sure this was the last thing that happened on disc one, if I remember this correctly. Sephiroth falls from the sky and puts a sword right through your character that you've been developing all this time. You've been spending all this money, energy, and whatever you want to call it, Gil. You know what it is. It's Final Fantasy VII. You've played it. You know what it is. You spent all this.
I'm afraid he's gonna start crying.
In this girl, this healer. Boom. She's dead. Dead. Oh. Dead. Dead. Not coming back. Not never. Not now. No, never. Everything you just spent, wasted. Damn. If you were like me, I started right then. I had to go back to the beginning of the whole fucking thing and not spend 1 cent on the chick, which goes against everything that I go for in video games. I always like to play the girl in video games. It's fun to me. I don't know what it is, but that's the way I like it. But I'm almost at the end of my 3 minutes here, so
I'll say
that's my answer to the question of the week.
I don't think he's timing himself.
Have a good one.
We got to be careful next week so Harv doesn't slit his wrists or anything. No, I do love that he never got emotional about it. It was just like, oh man, I put all that time into leveling that character. You know, like I remember when Aeris died, I was straight pissed. I was just like, wait a minute. There's nothing I can do about this. Like, I loved that character.
I've never played a single second of Final Fantasy anything.
You can stop with, you know what? I'll say 9. You can stop with 9. Everything after that is meh. It just got too cute, core, and bizarre. Nick Simon.
First time, long time.
This is crazy. We got Harvey Locust and Nick Simon joining the MP3 crew, both in the same week. I love it.
Our most recent donor, Nick Simon.
That's true. Let's see if he's as drunk as Harv was.
Nobody's that drunk.
It's time to rock. It's time to rap. It's time for the Bash Potato.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Matt. This is Nick. I'm not really sure if this is the right answer or who the actual fictional character death this is, but when Dee Dee Ramone got too whacked out on heroin, left the Ramones, and started the hip-hop group Dee Dee King, that affected me more than anything in the world. Part of me thinks that Dee Dee King was the real version, and Dee Dee Ramone was the fictional version that he killed off. I know he later rejoined the Ramones, but that part of me is dead and died a long time ago. Thank you.
I will accept that answer. And that song you're listening to was Dee Dee Ramone rapping from his record, Dee Dee the King.
I don't have the slightest idea what he's talking about.
The Ramones, man.
I mean, I got it. I get the Ramones. I get that part.
Oh, God. I will totally accept that answer. It was tough for me, too. I remember hearing that. And going, oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. We got to... This has been a real downer. We got one to go, and then we got to go into ours. Man, this has been rough. George Falco hit us with MP3. Let's see what
Tokyo Tranny Boy. You might remember that last time he wrote in with an MP3.
Yes.
Critical error. File failed. Yeah. So, technical problems, hopefully resolved. Let's give it a try.
What up, two-headed nerds and two-headed nerdettes? Nerdettes? What's the feminine form of nerd?
Nerd.
I mean, all right, who am I kidding? No one with a vagina listens to this anyway, right?
It's true.
I mean,
well, Andrew Shockwave
doesn't count, so. Okay, starting over. What up, two-headed nerds and Andrea Shockling? Georgie V here with my first ever answer to the answer of the week. So here's my answer. To answer this question, I'm going to have to go all the way back to 1986... In the only Transformers movie that really matters, the animated one. Ooh. Now, Optimus Prime was the soul of the TV show and, you know, the most popular character at the time. And the movie creators killed him off in like the first 10 minutes. It was pretty ballsy, actually. At least they gave him a really awesome battle with Megatron. Now, after he saves the Autobots, he collapses. And cut the scene of Optimus on some kind of operating table. They tell him he's dying. He passes the matrix of power and his color fades. Daniel burst into tears and my 4-year-old heart just broke. And the scene still stands up 28 years later. I'm serious. Check out the scene on YouTube. It still looks good. So, Optimus Prime, you broke my heart. And then 21 years later, Michael Bay shat on my childhood.
Ooh.
But that's a whole other story. Anyway, that's all from me, Georgie V, for this week. Talk to you later.
Georgie V, that was excellent.
Well done.
But I would say, let's invest in a windscreen or a microphone.
Yeah, listen, people are not calling in via their friggin' sound equipment that they've invested in.
Or hold yourself on a little further away from your face.
You need to hold the callers to a much lower standard.
No, we're all audiophiles. Come on.
God. You know what he was doing when I came in? He was listening to the same 5 seconds of audio over and over and over again, checking for differences in sound quality.
That's how you edit a show, buddy.
Nonsense. sense.
Okay. That's why it takes nobody, me hours.
Nobody would have noticed a difference.
I would.
I digress.
Great answer. I remember going to see the Transformers movies, a birthday party with a bunch of dudes. We were in like third or fourth grade, I think. I can't remember. Every dude in there, not a dry eye. Kids crying their eyes out when Optimus Prime died. I lost it. I was like, oh, God. I was so pissed at Megatron.
That's a good answer.
Man, that's a great answer. Georgie, love it.
Thanks for making it happen, buddy.
We got to get into our answers.
Welcome
now,
aboard. Though. Now, hold on. Before we do, since Brian Domingos brought up the forums, I want to go to the forums.
Okay.
And read a couple.
I like it.
Sophie Talia.
Hey.
I don't even know who that is.
That's girl number three listens to this show, George.
Listen, right? You've made that joke before.
Princess Ashley, Andrea Shockling, and Sophie Talia. There you go.
Sophie says, Gert Yorks, a.k.a. Arsenic from Brian K. Vaughan's Runaways. Not only was she my favorite, but also she also appreciated how her death affected Chase, who was Gert's boyfriend in the book.
Okay.
That's a good answer.
It's a good answer.
Dozo, who has been posting on the forums for a little while now.
Right on, Dozo. We dig it.
The first character that came to mind is Colossus. His death to cure the legacy virus and save countless mutants around the world was done well and in character. While it wasn't exactly a selfless act since Pete wanted to be with his sister, it worked for me. Colossus has always been a favorite of mine, and to see him end his life pretty nobly and in a take charge way, since one if had to effectively kill themselves to unleash the cure, it really hit me. I was sad to see him go, but sadder that Whedon brought him back after he had been cremated at the X-Mansion.
Wasn't him.
Where there are psychics and Wolverine and all sorts of mutants around who would have seen a giant alien carting off the body while replacing it with a fake. It's totes impossible.
I totally agree, but I did not like the way he died. I thought it was dumb. First of all, I don't see Colossus killing himself for any reason. Second of all, I stick this needle in my heart and nobody has a legacy virus anymore.
That's kind of silly.
That's ridiculous. Like, all I have to do is shoot myself with this handgun and no one will have cancer.
But Dozo, I appreciate the answer.
We respect. Yeah, we appreciate the answer. I just don't like it. Colossus is one of my favorite X-Men. I just didn't like the way they killed.
Sure.
That's all.
Kyle Roberts says, Agent 355 and Why the Last Man. Devastating.
Good answer.
Oh, and don't even get me started on the death of Ted Kord.
Ooh. Ooh.
Also a good answer.
Also a very good answer. Yeah. Another brutal one, too.
Brad posted and said, my answer is painfully obvious. I assumed he meant Peter Parker, but he meant Uncle Ben.
Yeah. Now, the way that Brad went to a different place, he's like, look, it didn't really affect me, and I wasn't around when it happened, but I understand how important it is, and I'm a big Spider-Man geek, so I've got to do it. I'll take that. That works.
Casual Comics guy posted saying, I wish I had seen this sooner. That way I'd have time to do a proper MP3. Until then, the best death scene of all time is, and then he posted a link to the YouTube clip where Rose and the doctor, David Tennant's doctor, part. I know it's not technically a death because there's some weird stuff where there's like a double of him and Rose and this double of the doctor get to go off. I don't know. It's a whole thing. Watch Doctor Who. It's awesome.
I'll count it.
I know it's not technically a death, but it still hit me smack in the face and stuck with me all these years. I still tear up a bit at the thought of Rose and the 10th Doctor parting. Joe.
Very solid.
Good answer.
Very solid. And you don't have time to MP3? No problem, Joe. Call us, buddy. Just call.
It's all right, man. Look, you can call. Post, we want people to post on the forums,
and
too.
I appreciate your post. Okay. I'm just saying, don't feel like you have to do an MP3 every week. You can call. We respect that just as much.
A little less, but still, we value you. And finally, our very own Brian Domingos, as he threatened in his MP3, came onto the forums to post his alternate answers. His comics answer, Jenny Sparks from The Authority. We knew it was coming, but The Authority never recovered. Jenny Quantum was/isn't up to snuff. Jenny Sparks' passing was like an old friend's slow demise, an old drunk British pissed off friend.
Yeah, I've got a few of those.
I love that.
Good answer, though.
His TV answer, Mrs. Landingham from The West Wing.
Oh, that one was,
that was brutal. Oh, look,
that one
Brian,
was really tough.
When I read that for the first time as we were recording a few minutes ago, I got a little misty.
Yeah.
Because
that episode was rough,
that episode where they just are like, Mrs. Landingham got in a car crash, she's dead.
Yeah.
That hurt me so bad. And then he also says that the recent death on The Good Wife is heartbreaking. All these people are talking about The Good Wife. I have never watched it.
I never really have either.
It's an amazing program.
I've heard it's great.
But he did not get into specifics, so I guess it's a little too fresh, so he didn't want to say. We'll take his word for it.
Yeah, it was one of the main guys. I know that.
Well, I don't know. So that is just some of the fun you can have talking about intense physical and emotional anguish
we're
that you feel
out.
In regards to your
catharsis,
fiction.
Folks.
Catharsis is cool. Comics therapy says it all the time.
Would you like to have your cathartic reaction first? I had mine first last time.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Joe Patrick's already crying.
Well, I was...
okay, sure.
Mrs. Lanningham, man. I did not expect to see that today. I didn't expect to have to relive that particular trauma today.
It was rough. It was rough.
Andrea Schock can back me up on that. So when I was a kid, I've talked about it before on the show. I've been a comic book fan since before I can remember. So I have always had comics.
You're staying in the world of comics.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do too. I'm going to stick with comics.
Though I do have a video game answer I'd like to touch on, but okay. I'll get to that.
Okay.
It wasn't until 1980, I guess, 6 or 7, Crisis on Infinite Earths came out. And I remember I traded for some reason, and again, I've told this story before and I apologize. I had acquired a copy of the Marvel, the epic reprints of ElfQuest. I had acquired a copy of a random issue somehow. Probably in one of those like gas station 3-packs or something. I'd never read ElfQuest, never seen it before, wasn't interested in it. Sorry, Wooly Toots. And my friend Andy, also riding the bus with me on the way to Kellam Elementary School in Omaha, Nebraska, said, "Hey, I have this comic, I'll trade you." And it was a copy of Crisis on Infinite Earths #7. The Death of Supergirl. I had probably seen death in comics before, but I don't remember reading a comic book where a major character died before. People have heard of this character around the world, Supergirl. People know who Supergirl is. She's got a movie. And it was a big deal. So I was 1986, so I was 7 or 8 years old. And this issue features kind of the halfway point. Not quite the... Well, yeah, but right around the halfway point of the series, where the assembled heroes from the multiverse are taking the fight to the Anti-Monitor. They've figured out a way to go to the Anti-Monitor's base, destroy all the technology that he's using to destroy the infinite universes, and kick his butt. They've destroyed this machine that is kind of smashing these universes together, and...
The Universe Smasher.
The Universe Smasher. And they are searching around for the Anti-Monitor, and they're like, Anti-Monitor's gone, bro. We don't know what's going on. And out of nowhere, the Anti-Monitor attacks Superman. And this guy is powerful enough to destroy entire universes. So he hurts Superman.
Big time.
And from a distance, Supergirl hears her cousin like crying out in pain and sends her friends away. Like, go to safety, go to safety. I have to go get my cousin, and flies to his aid. And they've got him on the ropes. She's smashing him, smashing him, smashing him. But he's unleashing this energy just as she is unleashing, you know, her powerful blows, and it's hurting her. It's killing her. And Superman says, "He's killing you. Stop. You've did it. Come on. We're safe. Let's go." And she turns around. She stops pounding him and she turns around and says, "Go, leave me, go." And then the next thing you know, the Anti-Monitor's like got her by both arms, like clutched her tight. And all you see is this body on fire and these eyes glowing. And he says, "You shouldn't have turned away, you foolish, foolish girl." And he blasts her so hard and she drops dead.
Whoa.
And that's it.
Whoa.
I take that back.
No, that's not.
No, like he kills her and then runs away. And she's got just enough left to say goodbye to Superman. And that is like 3/4 of the way through the issue. And the rest of it is the entire world, not just the world, but like worlds, people from 1,000 years in the future, from the Legion of Superheroes, people all over the DC universe, stopping what they're doing and mourning the death of Supergirl, this character that gave everything. And at age 7, I was like, "What? What?" And to this day, it is probably... I will go on record as saying that Crisis on Infinite Earths #7 is probably my favorite single comic of all time. And I read it until the pages fell out. Like, I had to buy a new copy. And to this day, like, nothing gets me more than that scene where Supergirl, she's got him. She's going to win. And she stops to say, go run away, get to safety.
You already told us.
I know. But like that moment right there where she like turns away and then he's got her.
Thank you for sharing.
And it's like, Patrick. Damn it.
I know that was difficult.
Damn it. It was difficult.
Joe just lived through something.
Don't you make fun of me. And since people brought up some video game stuff, I want to bring up, have you played Mass Effect 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So spoilers, Mass Effect 3, if it ends as it should, Commander Shepard sacrifices himself to save the universe from the Reapers, blah, blah, blah.
Sort of.
No, well, the way I played it, he did. Like,
well, you kind of evolved.
He merged with the machines and it ended the cycle of the Reaper, constant Reaper rebirth and all that, blah, blah, blah.
Ray Shepard, save the universe.
Right. But that wasn't what got me. What got me was halfway through the game when they go to T'Chunka to cure the genophage.
Yeah.
And Morden, the little lizardy guy.
Yeah.
Goes up in the tower because he's got to do whatever to cure the genophage.
Oh, the medic guy.
Yeah, the scientist. Morden, Morden, the Solarian medic or scientist. And this the whole time he's been portrayed as kind of this like cold, you know, scientific calculating guy. But he's still doing the right thing because it's, you know, scientifically appropriate or whatever. And
he's like even more logical than Spock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he triggers a bomb or whatever. I forget what happens exactly, but he gives up his own life to save the crew and cure the genophage so that the...
it was a beautiful moment.
What are they called? The...
T'Chunkans. I can't remember.
The Krogan.
The Krogan.
So so that the thing that keeps the Krogan from reproducing and living long lives is cured. And it's just like that moment where he like activates the device... is just like this glimmer of like what a really selfless duty is. And I was like, oh man, Morden.
Yeah. I went back and tried to play it two different ways to save his life.
You cannot save
Morden. Turns out you can't. Total waste of time.
But yeah.
I like that character.
Yeah, I did too. Matt Baum, what do you got?
Okay. Mine's pretty straightforward and pretty simple. And it was, in my opinion, one of the best, for lack of a better term, executed deaths. And this was... years ago, Joe and I were working at a different comic book store together, and I came in to come to work. Ora McWilliams, our buddy who listens to the show, was there, and he turned to me and he said, have you read Captain America yet? And I went, no. And he goes, did you look at the news? And I went, no. And he handed me a copy of Cap, and he goes, go in the back and read this right now before anyone f***ed it up for you. It was the issue that Captain America died.
Yeah.
And it was... this was at a time, I mean, the internet was around, but it wasn't the way that it is today, where we know the deaths are coming, you know, a week ahead of time or a month ahead of time or whatever. Nobody had any idea this was going to happen.
They, but the new Marvel went on the news and spoiled it that day.
That day they did.
But it was before shops opened.
I did not read the news that day. I had no clue. Yeah. I went in the back and I read the story of Captain America getting killed. And it was so well done. It wasn't a big drawn out fight scene. It wasn't a big dramatic, you know, Cap throws himself on a grenade to even save anybody else. He was being led up the Capitol stairs. This was after Civil War. And he's going to be tried in front of Congress for his crimes, basically. And there was crowds of people watching, and everyone was upset that Cap's been taken away. The heroes are all watching on TV. And it's just like this awful feeling already because Cap's getting arrested. And Crossbones is across the street with a sniper rifle. And he takes aim at Cap, and then he moves his aim with a little laser pointer to one of the cops in front of Cap, knowing that Steve will see the dot and throw himself in front of the bullet. Not only, Crossbones could have just shot him and killed him, but he wanted to show him your stupid heroic sensibilities are what's going to get you killed.
Yeah.
And Cap gets shot through the neck and bleeds out.
Nope.
And dies.
Nope.
On the Capitol stairs.
Wrong.
Later we found out that Carol Danvers.
Not Carol Danvers. Oh. Sharon Carter.
Yeah. Later we found out that a brainwashed Sharon Carter came and shot him a couple more times.
Shot him with a time travel gun. Yeah. He wasn't even really dead.
It was a whole thing.
But yeah. But I mean, in that moment.
It
yeah.
was incredible. Because we didn't see it coming. And it stuck for like 3 or 4 years. Cap stayed dead.
It seemed like a long time, didn't it?
It was at least 3 or 4 years. It was incredible. And it was, oh, man. And I remember I read it a few times. It was violent. It was sudden. And it was perfect. It was so well done. Ed Brubaker, man. I'm going to go with a movie death. It's a movie death that I saw at a very young age, still holds up today. I still get misty when I watch it. Star Trek II. When Spock goes in to realign the dilithium crystals and it floods the chamber with radiation, and Jim comes running down and goes, open the door. And he goes, you can't open the door. You'll flood the whole compartment, Jim. You know, Bones is like, come on. Oh my God. And Spock kind of, and you see Jim there just powerless. He can't do anything. And he puts his hands up on the glass and he's like, Spock. And he's yelling. He could barely hear him. And Spock kind of leans against the glass and says to him, you have always been and will always be my friend. I have goosebumps talking about
you,
this.
You are.
Oh, you are you and are, will and always, always be.
Will be my friend.
And he puts his hand up and says, live long and prosper. And Captain Kirk puts his hand on the other side of the glass and his hand slowly slides down. Ah, I remember seeing it in the theater with my dad and just crushed, absolutely crushed. And then they had Nimoy read like the ending, the space, the final frontier.
Yes, as, yeah.
Oh my God.
As they fire his coffin out of the Enterprise while Scotty plays Amazing Grace on the bagpipes.
God, it was so... No, it wasn't Amazing Grace. It was O'Dannyboy, I think.
Was it O'Dannyboy?
I think it was O'Dannyboy. I don't recall now. But
Do they play Danny Boy at funerals?
Oh, yeah. That's all what right. that song is.
Okay, all right.
It's all about calling Danny Boy back to heaven.
Okay. Yeah. Look, I'm only Irish. Come on. I don't know.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are called.
While we're on the subject of Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek reboot.
Oh, yeah.
The first one.
Oh, yeah.
I cry every
Me too.
Single
Me too.
Time.
Chris Hemsworth
dies.
Kirk's dad.
AKA Thor.
That scene is so near perfect.
You've got Kirk's dad, George, piloting the Enterprise because, not the Enterprise, piloting whatever ship.
Well, first he took over the Enterprise.
No, it wasn't the Enterprise. It was whatever.
Oh, no.
It was whatever ship they
You're
were
right. on. It was another ship.
Piloting whatever ship they were on because the captain had died. He had been appointed acting captain because the captain was dead. And in 12 minutes, he held off an attack by the Romulans, led by Eric Bana, long enough to evacuate that ship 300 and however many lives,
yeah,
including
all, like, jumped into the
his
escape
wife. Who's giving birth
to James T. Kirk.
And as he's flying that ship on a collision course with Nero's ship, the sound completely drops out.
Yeah.
And you don't hear anything at all until the baby cries.
Yeah. The music just kind of wells up a little bit, you know, yeah. And oh my
and
God,
every single time I've seen it. I don't know, 6 or 7 times.
It gets me.
And
too.
I cry every time
because they're just kind of like, she just gives birth. And they're talking. It's like, it's a boy. It's like, well, what are we going to name it? And he's like,
we'll name him after,
we'll
your,
name
dad.
After your father. Or you'll name after your dad. He goes, oh God, we can't call him Tiberius.
Tiberius is terrible. Oh man. Ew. Such a well done, well edited scene.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh, man, perfect.
Danny boy. The pipes are calling.
This was really just butt-wrenching.
It's a real butt-wrencher.
Next week, we promise to have a happier question.
Look, I can't guarantee it. Who
Good
knows?
God. What was the comic book relationship breakup that affected you the most? Guys and girls, we'll have a new question up this Friday. I promise you it's going to be a little more uplifting. We'll have some more fun. But this was good. We have to live. We have to experience.
Yeah, right? I think
that's a part of life. It's inevitable.
We laughed. We cried. We're a little bit closer as a result.
While you listen to this, you got a little closer to death. Think about that.
Can't argue with that.
We'll see you this weekend for another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. We love you all. We hope you don't die before that.
Yeah. Adios, muchachos.
See you on the other side.
Vaya con Dios.
Hey, nerds. If you've got an answer to the question of the week, you can call THN at the Ziggurat direct line and leave your message at 402-819-4894 or using the Skype username Two-Headed Nerd. And if you're too shy or have just too much to say at once, you can write your message under the Answer of the Week section of the THN forums.